Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now back to ringside with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. It's my pleasure, as always. You're going to be glad you stayed with us because our good buddy Rich Galen is back with us. I haven't talked to Rich in a couple of weeks. Actually, maybe more than a couple of weeks, and we've missed him. Rich is, in full disclosure, he's of the Republican persuasion. He spins to the right, and he's a longtime political expert, and many of you see him on television quite often. He is a publisher and also the chief cook and bottle washer over at Mullings.com, which is a thrice weekly cyber column. And more importantly, he's our good friend, Rich Galen. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Happy New Year, Jim.
Happy New Year to you. It's good to have you back.
Thank you.
For Republicans, this is the winner of their discontent, isn't it?
Yeah, I tell you what, the jobs report that comes out Friday, if that includes Republican Republican staffers, that's going to be awful.
Maybe they need to discount that when they I just see that on CNBC, them reporting, okay, now here's the jobs report, but you know this is an anomaly this week. We have all these Republican staffers, so we'll discount this by 25%.
That's exactly right. the non-Fed payroll.
There you go.
Here's the thing, though. Somebody said to me the other day, well, you know, as a Republican consultant, this is really dreadful for you. I said, you know, it's hard to, you know, say this out loud, but we're sort of like lawyers. You know, you don't call your lawyer when everything's going fine. When things really go down, when the cop stops you and you have to blow into the balloon, that's the next call you make is your lawyer. That's the way these guys are now. They're calling people like me. What do we do now?
Right. Well, that's exactly right. I mean, it's like talk about disarray. I mean, the Republicans, they don't know whether they're washing or hanging out right now, and it's their own fault. Isn't it,
well, these
Rich?
Things are cyclical. You know, everybody thinks, oh my God, you know, this is that on January 20th at the strike of noon, precisely to the second, 8 years earlier, the Republicans were swearing in a Republican president, and he was surrounded by a Republican Senate Majority Leader and a Republican Speaker of the House. So all of this has happened mm-hmm. in 8 years. So you know, there's no permanency to this. The secret is to understand where you are on that sine wave and figure out where you want to get to and get a plan to get there.
Right. Well, let's talk about you mentioned the last 8 years. What do you think George Bush's legacy is going to be? Do you think history will treat him kinder than the media is treating him today as he signs off?
Well, I can't believe it can be any worse than the media is treating him today. So the answer to that one's pretty easy. Yes. It's just this administration, and we have talked about this over the last, and it's hard to believe that we've been doing this together as long as we have. You've been doing the show 1 year longer than I've been writing that column. But he started out with 9/11 just a few months into his administration, and he's ending up with the economic collapse at the other end of it. And in between, he had a hurricane and a war. So, you know, he's had a lot going on. And I think that when the dust settles and the ire abates, for the most part, the historians will look back and say, you know what, that foreign policy that everybody was screaming about, that actually was okay, that worked out very well. The fact is that you and I have personal interests in this, Iraq, and we've won that. I mean, it actually happened. Everything that we wanted to happen, for the most part, is happening. And it took a couple of years more than we thought it ought to take or might take. But we do have a
well, and let me stop you for a second, Rich. On that point, I think one measure of you saying that we're winning is what I'm going to call a spirit of nationalism among the Iraqis. I mean, isn't that what's happened in the last 2 years?
Well, I can remember you and I talking about that when we had to stop because helicopters were going over my head.
Right.
Because I was out in the field a lot. I always knew that Iraqis considered themselves Iraqis. The fact that a few relatively speaking, few people would call themselves Kurds first, or Sunnis first, or Shias first. That wasn't what most people thought. And you know, people say, well, but those the lines that were drawn, they're just artificial lines that the British went and drew after after World War One. And I always say, well, what about let's take the line between Mexico and the U.S. Do you think that was put there by by God? I mean, no, these are all artificial
right.
lines. I mean, it's like
right.
a John Lennon song.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, when everybody gets to look back and they see that the real bad guys, got thwarted. The real bad guys being Syria and Iran,
right?
And now we're in the middle of another one with Hamas. That Bush, I think, will be looked upon as somebody who made the tough choices when they mattered.
Yep. He might not have always made the right decisions, but he did make the tough choices. He didn't wimp out on those. And I got a couple of more points I want to make about that when we come back. And then we're going to move on and talk about Mr. Obama's opportunity. 2012. Rich Galen is our guest. He's our friend. I'm Jim Blasingame. I'm your host. Stay with us. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website's smallbusinessadvocate.com. Just go there. Go to the mothership. You'll find my blog there. Jim's blog's right there on the left. You can link over to my knowledge base, askjim.biz, and you can find my newsletter there, which we'll send to you every Sunday afternoon by email, get you ready for the week ahead. Thousands of archives, thousands of articles, thousands now. Brain Trust members. We have the largest community of small business experts in the world right there at smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you check it out and use it to your advantage. Rich Galen is our guest. He's a longtime member of our Brain Trust, our good friend, a Republican operative. He's a Republican professional strategist, I think is the term they often use. He writes an outstanding cyber column called Mullings.com. Go to Mullings.com and subscribe, and he'll be glad to sign you up. Rich, we're talking about, I want to wrap up just quickly on Mr. Bush's legacy. Uh-huh. Three things that I think about that are underreported and underappreciated that I hope one day, I mean, you know, there'll be plenty of books that can be written on Mr. Bush's failures, and some of it much, Rich, you know, some of it completely deserved. Mm-hmm. But I also know that the only people who don't make mistakes are the ones who don't try. But the three things that I think that he should be able to leave town with in a couple of weeks with his head held high. Number one, we have not been attacked again since 2001. Number two, 25 million women can now go to school and walk out in public without being afraid of being hurt or being basically they've been emancipated, and I'm talking about the women in Afghanistan and Iraq. And number three, he's done more to deal with the AIDS situation than any other person on planet Earth history.
Yeah, those are all three good points. You know, it's on the second point, it's even wider, that in just before I went over to Iraq back in 2003, yeah.
Yeah.
I went to Kuwait to cover their national elections. And without getting into all the details, back in those days being 5 years ago, I forget the exact numbers, but there's something on the order of 2.1 million people in Kuwait, in Kuwait, and of those, 128,000, I believe, could vote, males over the age of 21, whose families had been in Kuwait since 1923,
mm-hmm.
or if they were imports that had been naturalized citizens for something on the order of 20 years. So this very small, extraordinarily small group of people were controlling the entire electoral process.
Right.
Since the war in Iraq began, and since Mr. Bush decided that the democracy was really a good thing, now in places like Kuwait, not only is there universal suffrage, but there are females who are ministers of the government. And
mm-hmm.
you go all the way down the Gulf, except for, I think, Oman, and you see that in every single one of those, that there's now universal suffrage and the rights of women have been expanded dramatically.
I think it will be fair, Rich, if when the books are written about Mr. Bush, There are all the chapters about his failures, but it'll be fair if also there are the chapters that deal with the things that we were just talking about. I want to move on to Obama's opportunity. Now, in about a couple weeks or so, we're going to have a new president, Barack Obama, and I want to say again on my show, and I mean this as sincerely as I've ever said anything before. I did not vote for him. I did not recommend him, and all my reasons were small business reasons, but I will tell you, I pray for his safety and for his success every day, and I'll continue to do that.
You're exactly right. I wrote a brief line about that. I said we have to root for for Barack Obama's success because it's America's success. And
he's going to be my president.
Yeah, exactly. Now, doesn't mean I have to root for Harry Reid or Nancy Pelosi, but I am rooting.
Yeah, I'm not going to root for Harry Reid, but anyway, Obama's opportunity. What is it?
Well, one of the things that Bill Clinton kind of bemoaned, you know, after he was when he was at this point in his presidency, was that he didn't really have a chance to. There was really no gigantic crisis that he could kind of rise to. Well, Obama's walking into a huge crisis, crises everywhere he looks. The economy obviously being one, the Middle East still being another. Who knows what's going to happen in China? Who knows what's going to happen in Russia? He has got a lot of challenges facing him, and I think as a Republican, any Republican who looks with a fair eye at the appointments he's made, you don't have to like every single one of them, but the choices he made as a running as a liberal Democrat, the choices he has made to help to surround himself with have been very, very wise choices. He has filled those holes with people that know what they're doing, that understand the nuances of a lot of these things that, when we're just on a brief kind of interview, you don't get to get into. But I'm very, very more than satisfied with the picks that he made. I wrote a column the other day.
Including Panetta.
Yeah, I was just going to say I wrote a column about him. You know, you go back. I mean, George
now, see, Panetta is a. I consider Panetta to be a very serious person, an intellectually honest person, very capable person. But I'm not sure I like the CIA thing.
Well, let's see. George Bush Sr. was a CIA director.
Yep.
And immediately before that, he was the envoy to China. We didn't have an embassy there. And before that, he was the chairman of the Republican National Committee. So I'm not sure that his CIA credentials were all that good. But he was good enough so that they named the building after him. So I think the management aspects of it, I think, overwhelm the details.
Right. Well, when we come back, two things I want to talk about with Rich are where's the change? You know, we promised change. Panetta's not changed. Emmanuel's not changed. Podesta's not changed, et cetera, et cetera. Where's the change? But also, we got to talk about Senator Al Franken. Stay with us. 10 till.
Well, I was moving down the road in my VA4.
It's 7 till. Don't want to miss a second of opportunity with our good friend Rich Kalin. Smart guy, one of the smartest political minds that I know. And I know many of you have seen him on television. And, of course, many of you subscribe to his cyber column, Mullings.com. I hope you'll check that out. Go to that website and take the opportunity to subscribe. If you're a Democrat, if you're a Republican, you're going to like what he says. If you're a Democrat, you're going to want to subscribe so you can see what he's up to. So check that out when you get a chance. Thrice weekly, right, Rich?
Oh, yeah, except for August.
Except for August, yeah. Well, we don't worry about August. No. Hey, Rich, quickly on Obama's opportunity, I was asking about the change. You know, he campaigned on change. He ran against every candidate in the primaries and the election on change. I look behind him, and I see Emmanuel, I see Podesta, I see Panetta, I see Richardson, who's now out, but still it wasn't Obama's fault. I see Clinton. I see, where's the change?
Yeah, well, the change ended when the campaign was over. What candidates say and what incumbents do are very often two different things, and it's always two different things in the presidency because you were the president of 300 and something million people. And the cross pressures are just enormous. And the other thing about Obama and change is that if the economy were not in the tank and the Russians weren't rattling their swords, and you know all the other things going around the world weren't going around, he would have, I think, more freedom to kind of tinker and change. It's like all of us. I mean, when you got some cash in the bank, you get to be really creative.
Yeah.
When times are tough, you put your head down and you block and tackle.
Speaking of that, Rich, and I'm going to remind people, you said that you think, and this is quick answer, you think Podesta is a good choice. I mean, Pineda is a good choice for CIA.
Yeah, I do. I think.
Okay, good,
yeah.
Good. I'm glad to hear that.
Because he knows how the White House works, because he was chief of staff, and he knows how the Congress works.
Yep, and he's a serious guy, and I think he's a patriot. I do believe that. All right, quickly, because I want to get to the Minnesota thing in a second, but. Mr. Obama is the most liberal senator in the Senate, so that's one thing we got to realize. But number two, I do believe he is intellectually honest. I've determined that I think that. And number two, I think he is also, we've seen his pragmatic side. I think those are two things that we'll see from him that maybe people who are not so far left will like about him. What do you think?
I absolutely agree. I think, I mean, and he's got a manner about him, and he's got an ability to communicate that, frankly, George W. Bush did not have, does not have, which harms him. I mean, you've got to be able to make your case, and Barack Obama can do that. Will we agree with everything he does? Oh, no.
Yeah.
But I think you have to cheer the good ones so that you have the standing, the intellectual and political standing, to be able to wag your finger at the bad one.
Right, exactly. It'll be interesting to see the first time that he has to get up on his hind legs against Iran and Russia or somebody like that. And I actually think he'll be able to do that. Now, I didn't know this 2 months ago, but I think I've seen this now. I hope I'm right about that. Let's talk about Minnesota. Senator Al Franken, it's come to this, Rich. Senator
Al
Franken.
My friends on the Democratic side of the green room here, when I'm sitting around with them, I says, okay, so tell me, the first time he shows up with a colander on his head, what are you guys going to say then? they just kind of shake their heads. But you know, there were two people in this race. Norm Coleman has been in this race, and I haven't had the time to go back and look and see what kinds of things Coleman might have done to provide some more separation. But this was a difficult year, and maybe Coleman did everything exactly right. And this is
well. Do happened. You think Coleman's getting the right kind of? Is he getting? Is there a fair count in Minnesota? You think?
Probably not, but I don't think there's a. When you get down to these, you know, these last few, there it's never a fair count. It's only a fair count if you're up on top. I mean, I've been through a lot of these.
But he started out on Coleman. I mean, yeah, Coleman started out on top.
Well, but you know, I'm not up there, and I don't, you know, I haven't seen these.
But it's pretty much a fait accompli for Franken, right?
I think unless one of those courts suddenly does an about face, I suspect that's it. But one of the things we learned in Florida is you don't have to win by a lot. You only got to win by, in that case,
that's right.
537.
That's right. Prediction, political prediction for 09. I got 30 seconds.
For 10, you mean? I think. For this year, I think
for this year,
I think that that Obama gets a 6 month to 5 month probably honeymoon, and then even his own folks will start turning on him. You saw this last week it is difficult dealing with a majority, even your own majority in Congress, and I suspect there'll be rocky roads for him.
He's going to find out about the beanbags, isn't he?
It ain't beanbag.
It ain't for sissies. Hey, Rich, thanks for being here. Good job today, as always.
Thank you, sir. Happy to be back.
Rich Galen, ladies and gentlemen, Mullings.com. Don't forget to go there and check that out. He's one of the best. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, and I want to remind you that a ship in the harbor is safe, but that's not what ships were made for.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.